So today we are delighted to have with us Taylor Locklear. Taylor is someone who I've got to know very well during his time at St. Philip's. He has been involved in a lot of different ministries here, including our Theology on Tuesdays ministry over at Henry's. And Taylor is originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina, but came to Charleston to go to the Citadel. After the Citadel, was working in the construction industry and then founded his own drywall company, which has grown by leaps and bounds. It seems like wherever I am in Charleston County, I see a Taylor Locklear drywall truck somewhere. So it is quite impressive. Taylor and his wife, Juliana, spent a lot of their courtship here at St. Philip's and were very involved through that time with the church. And I have to confess, I've been praying every day that Taylor's wife, who is expecting their first child, would not give birth until after this luncheon. She is due literally at any moment. So, but I think we're going to make it through the luncheon all right. So that will be a good thing. But Taylor is someone who has an interesting story to tell that I think will be an encouragement for all of us. So please join me in welcoming Taylor Locklear.
Thank you. Did I turn this on?
You'll get it.
Okay. Thank you, Father Brian, for that introduction. When he emailed me and asked me for a bio, I immediately got my wife and said, "Will you type me up something and send to Father Brian?" I thought a photo ID would suffice. So where do I start? All right. My two goals today, to share my testimony and to not speak in cursive. I have a lot of friends that like to give me a hard time that I speak in cursive. It's an Eastern North Carolina thing. And there's one other Saint Philippian that also speaks in cursive. And her name is Kristen Miller. Funny story. One of my first services I attended at St. Philip's by myself, I ran into Miss Miller outside, and we didn't know each other at the time, but she asked me where I was from, what I was doing at St. Philip's, and she said, "You must be Taylor Locklear. I can tell by your accent." So that was my first friend, was Miss Miller. My background starts as a good old boy Christian. I was raised in Eastern North Carolina, where church on Sunday was a part of the culture. But I didn't enter into my personal relationship with Jesus Christ until I was an adult. Up until a few years ago, church was just a box to check. My girlfriend at the time, now wife, she was my common denominator throughout my growth from a lukewarm churchgoer to sold-out believer. I had just graduated the Citadel in 2017, and Juliana was a freshman at South Carolina. I wasn't regularly attending church, and when she would come down to Charleston on the weekends, she'd want to go to church. And her grandparents attended St. Helena in Beaufort, and would always tell us, "You got to go listen to this Jeff Miller guy. You got to go listen to him." So every weekend when Juliana would come down from USC, we would go to St. Philip's with the intentions of listening to this Jeff Miller guy. Well, we didn't know at the time, but he was on a sabbatical. I think we came to St. Philip's probably 6 weeks straight, and I was like, "This Jeff Miller guy, he doesn't work that much, because I've yet to meet him." We fell in love with the church right away, but our main goal or our intentions were to hear Jeff. And once we did finally get to hear Jeff, he's another reason why we decided to stay and attend and just fell in love with the church. I knew there was something to the rhythms of the Christian life, but I just hadn't connected to the source of it all, even while I was attending St. Philip's early on. When I think to my testimony, I reflect to see where God has moved me in my life thus far, and my first thought to my testimony is my time on motorcycles. It's kind of weird. I've always been an adrenaline junkie, from skydiving, I'm an avid kiteboarder, backcountry snowboarding, and motorcycles. It started out on dirt bikes, it progressed to sport bikes, and then I got into the Harley scene. And that's where things kind of started to take a downturn. Not saying that the motorcycle motorcycles themselves aren't bad, but the culture can sometimes be the bad side of it. Where am I? I'm sorry. My love for motorcycles really was rooted in the love of the sport, and I didn't think that riding was bad itself, but where it could be a problem was the culture surrounding it. Buying a Harley catapulted me into a scene surrounded by men who were immersed in alcohol, violence, drugs, and infidelity. There were definitely times that I drank more than I should have, but beyond that, it's not necessarily that I fell prey to the culture around me, but rather that I felt empty being surrounded by this kind of life. There were times where I would go to, I'm sure everyone from South Carolina knows about Bike Week. I would go to Bike Week and I would be hanging out with these men, and we were at a bar one night and we saw a guy get stabbed, and I'm here just like, what am I doing in this environment? What good could possibly come from this? But I stayed in that scene for a while just because I loved the sport side of it. I enjoyed riding. I enjoyed that camaraderie side of it. But the people in that scene, the things that they condoned were just, it wasn't a life that I wanted to live. It was really my wife. She's the, like I said, the common denominator to my testimony, because I put her to the side when I was in that scene a lot. I didn't spend a lot of quality time with her, and it was the boys first. I didn't know back then, but she was praying for something to happen to scare me. There were multiple times where, I'm sure y'all are familiar with Monk's Corner to Merle's Inlet, that distance. We would start out at a bar in Monk's Corner and end up in Merle's Inlet in an hour 20. I mean, cruise control, 110. Another scenario where I'm just like, what am I doing? Why am I acting like this and in this scene? And one night, probably 3 years into me riding, me and a buddy were headed to someone's house out toward Monk's Corner. It was just the two of us. And he didn't know where we were going. I was out front, riding in front of him. And he turned down the wrong road, and I just kept going. I was like, he'll catch up with me. We're on the two-lane road. And a truck got behind me. Well, I knew my destination. He did not. We're going 65, 70, not wearing helmets, because we never did. And I turned left to go into my buddy's house. Well, my buddy, who liked to ride kind of crazy, passed the truck, T-boned me, hit my front wheel so hard, I'm sitting in the middle of the road like a linebacker. Motorcycle's 30 yards in a ditch. There wasn't a scratch on me. I was just sitting there like Brian Urlacher. Motorcycle's totaled. My friend drove right through me, not a scratch on him. And that really took that as a sign to put it up, one. And I kind of fast forwarded a little bit. My relationship with God, I haven't prayed for the Holy Spirit to guide me. I felt like in the past I demanded from God to prove himself to me. And I think that's why my foundation wasn't strong, is because I thought I was praying at the time, but in reality I was demanding God to prove himself to me. Like most men, you need hard evidence. You know, someone might tell you the fire's hot, but you're going to find out how hot is it. And that was me for sure. I recognized that specific event as a wake-up call, and I was thankful that I wasn't hurt. And physics is the only class I withdrew from in college, but I don't think there was an answer or formula to how that happened and how I got out with not a scratch. I mean, he hit me going 70. The motorcycle just went from under my legs, and I'm sitting there scratch-free. My friend's scratch-free, and that was a blessing. And Juliana had a prayer answered. I didn't find out about that until later, and we kind of blew it off when I told her about it. I was like, yeah, we got in a little fender bender in the parking lot. It really was. If you know my wife, so now you know my backstory. My wife, she's a saint. She was Miss Maine, first married contestant to compete in Miss USA, and she just recently got her master's in theology. True saint. So If it wasn't for her, I really wouldn't be A, at St. Philip's, or B, standing up here. The second part of my testimony, it's kind of ironic. It was Easter. It was an Easter service the weekend I proposed to my wife. It was just a wholesome weekend. I proposed to my wife in front of St. Philip's on Friday, and I don't know what service is on it. The Good Friday service, yeah. We didn't go to the Good Friday service. We skipped it so I could propose. And the service was just got wrapped up, and we got photos with all the clergy. It was just a great moment. And then that Sunday, this is the second part of my testimony, three-part testimony. You know, I'm a guy's guy. I was riding motorcycles. I thought I was tough. You know, not a real emotional guy. That entire service, I couldn't control myself. I was crying the entire service. Didn't know why. I just couldn't lock it up. I was in my head, Taylor, lock it up. What is wrong with you? My wife was like, are you okay? I don't know what's going on. That was my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I say that because I recognize at that moment the magnitude of the blessings in my life and my sins being washed away. I just, for the first time, I was just like, I felt clean and just so appreciative of everything that God had in front of me. My parents were at the service. My wife's parents were at the service, her siblings. I was just so appreciative for that moment and recognize that. The third part to my testimony is Father Jeff's sermon at our wedding. We got married at St. Philip's, and his sermon was about the responsibility as a couple to be the salt and the light. And that really hit home with me. I recognized that I had a platform, and I often think back to his words as a sense of accountability in my day-to-day life. I still hang out with my good old boys, you know, tailgate at Citadel football. I can't kick them to the curb. But what I recognize after, you know, experiencing all this is how I can shine the light. And I put myself in these environments now, and I'm mature in my faith to where I'm more disciplined in my faith, where I can hang out in these environments and know when to leave. And only have one drink, or say, no, we're not going to go out. We're fine. And it's funny, when it sounds small, but when you do that, your friends around you begin to wonder, like, well, how are they happy? How are they enjoying life and not, you know, funneling a beer at the tailgate? And it's funny because a lot of friends do say that they really, because of my wife, but they've seen over the years how I've changed. And I think that's a good example, because I think back to when I first came to St. Philip's, Father Andrew was one of the first clergy members that I encountered. And you know how Father Andrew is. He exudes happiness. And when I met him, I was like, there's no way this guy's like this all the time. I thought it was his poker face. I was like, no way. Somebody's this happy. But as I kept attending St. Philip's, I was like, what does this guy have that I don't? And it's his faith. And seeing that and so many other people like that at St. Philip's is also a testimony, and it's so encouraging. And I'm thankful to be a part of such a congregation like this. I'm kind of skipping around. My wife actually helped me type this out. She's great. She's like my liaison. So, yeah, that was my third part. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up was gratitude to the congregation. I'm an only child. My parents are both only children. And my grandfather started a drywall company in North Carolina in the 60s. And my dad took it over in the 90s. With that being said, like, I feel like my family just started. Like, I don't know my grandfather's dad. I don't know my family history. And when I started attending St. Philip's, I would look in the pews and just see generations of children. And I was like, that's really cool. That's something to be proud of. And that's a goal of mine. And I just want to thank so many of you for just setting that example. You don't realize just by showing up what that does for the people sitting in the back that may be coming to St. Philip's for the first time. I look back and I see we're expecting our first and a girl. I want to go get a motorcycle again so I can be the tough guy for when the boys come around. But, you know, I see so many young families in the church that their children are here every Sunday, active, disciplined. I pay attention to it. I see it. And y'all set an example for the younger adults. I know there's a family, I don't know them personally, but I know they have 7 children. And they're always here on Sunday. And I'm like, how do they do it? What are they doing differently? It's because they're active. They're here all the time. And that's just such a great example. And I'm so thankful to see that. And it's encouraging. And then the clergy. Justin and Brian, given the time to reach so many young people in a way that is unique and compelling. I have a buddy that just graduated from UNCW, and he moved to Charleston. And I was asking him, like, you know, what do you do for fun? All the little basic questions. And then I was trying to say, well, where you go to church? You should try coming to St. Philip's. And he was like, I've heard of St. Philip's. Is that the Theology on Tap church? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was just, when he said that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. He doesn't even know where St. Philip's is, but the talk at night on the streets is Theology on Tap. So, I mean, that's admirable what they're doing. And Andrew, for being welcoming, he's a great ambassador for the Christian faith. Only someone in a relationship with Christ could exude the type of joy he does. Yeah, Father Andrew was probably one of the first ones that reeled me into St. Philip's, and I'm thankful for his time and commitment to a newcomer. We've been here 8 years. It's been a while, but yeah, just so thankful for that. Bill, for being fatherly and selfless, Star Gospel Mission is a testament to how. It's so cool to see all the work. The first place I volunteered was Star Gospel Mission. And I think that was like in 2019 or something. Father Bill you weren't a clergy member here at the time, were you? You weren't here yet, yeah. That was just a neat experience. If you've never worked there, it's a really cool experience. And they have a great program. And that was another example of just St. Philip's encouraging newcomers and shining the light. I didn't steal that from Mr. Hagan. And Jeff, for being an incredible leader in assembling this team that has brought people to Christ, and for showing up. No more sabbaticals. He's here consistently now. or is he going on one? Is he on one now?
He's at a Trinity Seminary meeting today.
Okay. How am I on time? Did I fly through that? I definitely skipped around more than I wanted to. I apologize. In drywall, you don't get to do too much public speaking. It's usually broken Spanish and broken English on my end. So I really wish my wife could have came up here and spoke for me. She's a great speaker. Speaking of her, I skipped over our wedding part. Our wedding is really a testimony. I did mention that, but I didn't go into detail. We had about 400 people at our wedding. And we both spoke. I was clear, didn't speak cursive. It was brief, to the point. My wife, hers was like an altar call. And it really was, because we had 2 friends that joined St. Philip's. One's here now, TC. They joined after our wedding. They wanted to come see what St. Philip's was all about. I've had 3 buddies from the kiteboard world come to St. Philip's. And 2 other buddies from the Citadel. Now, they're not like full commit, but the wedding just opened up a little door for them to get a taste of what it's like. And as my friends, as we're all starting to have children, everyone's kind of, I've noticed they're looking for something. Like, and I encourage them to come to St. Philip's because of people like you all, the congregation, seeing you here, young families, and three generations all in attendance on Easter Sunday. It's something that many young people should aspire to. Closing. Can I go to my closing
sure.
page?
Because
it's blank after that. As Christians, it seems like we often think about a testimony as having a beginning, middle, and end. But really, as we move through the different seasons of life, I think our testimonies are ever evolving. My wife could give birth at any moment to our first child, and I look forward to seeing what God will teach me in this next season of fatherhood. We are so privileged to raise our daughter in a church community like St. Philip's. Thank you to Father Brian for inviting me today, and thank you to this incredible church for the impact it has had on my faith journey. That's all I got.